Your ways, teach me to know your healing grace.
Teach me to
know the mighty one. Teach me to know your son. Welcome
to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening in on this beautiful fall morning. Sky's clear, and the leaves are about as beautiful as they get here in North Alabama. So a wonderful day that the Lord has given us, and it's His day, really, a day that we need to honor and worship Him. Thank Him for all that He's doing for us, show our devotion to Him. And we're doing that at the Eastside Church of Christ this morning. We'll be meeting at 10 o'clock this morning at Eastside. That's at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, just a block off Highway 31, not too far from the CVS Pharmacy. But anyway, we'd like for you to be with us 10 o'clock this morning. We'll be social distancing and wearing masks, but we'll be worshiping our God. That's the main thing. And He has blessed us so richly. You know, there's a lot of turmoil in our world today. We have an election that's caused quite a bit of anxiety this last week. The coronavirus seems to be picking up steam again, and that caused a lot of anxiety. We have personally have friends and some loved ones who passed away and are sick with it right now. So it's a serious thing. It's a subject of our prayers, and we need to keep on praying about our nation, the coronavirus problem, and all of the things that are maladies in our society today. We need to go to God for solutions to those things. As I see the trouble that we have in this world today, I think that we're not too very far different from how Israel was in Old Testament times. They experienced quite a bit of trouble. A lot of it was their own fault. Some of the things that we're experiencing are our own fault. We brought on ourselves. Others are just the way things happen. But we need to, I think about changing our hearts. I really believe that individually and collectively right now, what we need in our nation is a change of heart on the part of an awful lot of people. And I'm not talking about one side of the political aisle or the other, or one social group or another. I just believe our nation, again, individually and collectively, we need to look at our hearts and just see what needs to be changed right now. That was the problem with Israel in the Old Testament. They needed a change of heart. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, Ezekiel is a prophet who actually prophesied when God was punishing His people. He'd sent them into Babylonian captivity, and Ezekiel was one of the ones who went into Babylonian captivity. He was there and selected as a prophet of God to speak to the people who were being punished, really, for their sins. And God is going to allow His people to spend 70 years in this captivity. Ezekiel is prophesying, especially during the first part of the captivity, to them. But in Ezekiel chapter 18, and down at verse 30, the Lord says to them, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore turn and live. Well, what God said to Israel long ago could pretty well be said to the United States today. We need to get us a new heart. We need to think about changing the way we feel and think about things in this country, from top to bottom. And again, I'm talking to individuals this morning as well. The Lord says everyone needs to change. Every one of you needs to repent and turn from your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. About 35 years ago, my brother-in-law had a serious heart problem, so serious that doctors determined he was not going to live with the heart that he had beating in his chest. And he was very fortunate, blessed by God, but they did a heart transplant. After his heart transplant, of course, his life was changed forever. His new heart would not allow him to do some of the things that his old heart did, but his old heart would not have allowed him to live any longer. We need a new heart in our country, spiritually speaking. There are many people individually who need new hearts, as those in the time of Ezekiel did. When you think about how the nation of Israel had sinned against God and brought problems to themselves as a result, what kinds of things had they done that caused God to be so displeased with them that he allowed them to be conquered and so many of them taken into captivity? Well, the Old Testament gives us a lot of information about that, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time this morning going over that, but part of it is encapsulated in Psalm 106 and verse 35 starting. The psalmist is talking about the history of Israel, and he says about their captivity that they were completely displeasing to God. They did things that were abhorrent to him. It says, they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. So they were defiled by their own works. I believe a lot of us in this world, in this country, have defiled ourselves and our country by our own works. We've done things that have been displeasing to God. We've made materialism an idol and focused on that instead of serving God. We've turned to various aspects of immorality, and we've sacrificed our children. Literally, when you think about, 60 million unborn children being murdered since the Roe versus Wade decision, that's way beyond what Israel did in terms of the horrendous taking of innocent blood, of innocent life, that caused God to condemn that nation. And so, again, from top to bottom, we need a change of heart. I want to talk with you this morning about what our heart condition is and compare it to some of the people that we read about in the Bible who needed a change of heart as well. A heart can be darkened, it can be hardened, it can be foolish, it can be deceived. And all of those things, if any of those things are the case with us, we need changing in our hearts. We need to change the way we feel and think about things. We need to change our motivations. And again, the Bible addresses all of this very clearly. And it's necessary if we're going to walk the way that leads to life. You might notice that God told Ezekiel, he didn't want people to die. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies. Turn and live. He wants us to walk the way that leads to life. When we turn over to the New Testament, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, we see there described people who, again, needed a change of heart. Their problem was that their heart was both foolish and darkened because they really didn't want God in their lives. And again, doesn't that describe a lot of us today in our country? In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhood, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So here's the inspired Apostle Paul describing people who they knew God, but they really didn't want God to be their God. They didn't want to know him intimately, and they didn't want to follow his ways. And so it says their foolish heart was darkened. They really darkened it themselves. Their heart was in a bad condition because they didn't want God. They didn't want his truth. How many people in America today want God, want his truth? As you go on in the book of Romans, you see some of the things that God allowed to happen to these people because they didn't want him, because their heart was darkened. It says in verse 24 that God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their flesh to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. goes on to say, for this reason, God gave them up into vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a debased mind to do the things that are not fitting. And then he lists some of the things they did that weren't fitting in the next few verses. I'm reading now in Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Now, that horrible list of sins that I just read, unfortunately, can all be readily found in the United States of America. Every last thing that I mentioned and that was read in that text. We have darkened our hearts, my friends. We need a change of heart in this country. We need to decide that God is God and we need Him. All of the things that are happening to us right now, are things that God can help us with, things that God can easily rectify and overcome. We need Him to help us. We need to put our trust in Him and turn away from the sin that we're committing, from the hard-heartedness and empty beliefs, the materialistic ways that we're living our lives, and turn to the God of heaven. Unfortunately, so many people in this world today are content with how things are going, believe it or not. There are actually people who think that, you know, the way our country is headed right now and the mass unrighteousness and sin that we see everywhere we look, and the things that I've just, again, read in this text where you have people who are violent and proud and inventors of evil things, and they're malicious and they're full of envy and strife and deceit, those kinds of things. There are a lot of folks in our country that just want that to continue. That's the way it's going. We need individually, every last one of us, to decide we're going to have a change of heart. No longer will we be involved in sexual immorality and maliciousness and envy and deceit and gossip and backbiting and violence and pride and invent evil things and be boasters. No longer will we be untrustworthy and unloving and unforgiving and unmerciful. We need a change of heart. Look at yourself, each one of us. Let's look at ourselves and see if our heart doesn't need changing this morning. As the Apostle Paul goes on in the book of Romans, he describes in chapter 2 those who just continue on doing what they're doing, despite the fact that they know that they're wrong, despite the fact that they know that God is just being long-suffering with them, giving them a chance to repent. They reject His mercy, they reject His grace, and just keep on in the same direction that they've been going. So you read in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul asks them a question. Do you despise the riches of His goodness, His forbearance, His long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God is only allowing us to continue on in the hope that we'll repent, that we'll have a change of heart. That's what Paul is saying. If we reject this opportunity, the one we have right now before us in this moment of time, if we reject this opportunity to change our hearts, what's going to happen to us is what's happened to everyone who rejected the opportunity to change his or her heart. And it's described in verse 5, in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Folks, there is a God in heaven. Judgment day is coming. He will render to every last one of us according to what we've done. And if we're doing the kinds of things that were described in the reading there in Romans chapter 1, and we know that God is against those things, we continue in those things, we're going to have a hard time facing Him in judgment. Judgment is coming. Let's change our hearts while we're being given opportunity to do that. You know, Jesus was grieved by the hardness of men's hearts. As you read through the New Testament accounts of Jesus' life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you won't find Him being angry very many times. He was grieved a number of times, but in Mark chapter 3, there's an interesting account of Jesus being angry he'd gone into a synagogue, and there was a man there with a withered hand. And because it was the Sabbath day, there were people who were watching him who didn't think he should heal people on the Sabbath day, which was a day of rest. So they're actually watching just to see if he was going to break the Sabbath in their mind. And Jesus, when he looked around at them, the text says, he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart. As Jesus looks at the United States of America today, at our communities and our neighborhoods, what's he saying? Is he seeing people that are so hard-hearted, they just will not give him a chance? They will just not. They will not trust in him and turn to him in this hour of need. Jesus was angry when he saw people so hard-hearted. They didn't want good to happen. Not really. They were interested in their own agenda, often a political and religious one in that day. They weren't interested in changing themselves, changing their hearts to please the God of heaven, believing in his Son, whom he sent to serve all of us and die for our sins. That kind of a heart of hard-heartedness, where people are so tied up in their sins that they're just not interested in changing, it can even develop among believers in God. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, we're warned about that because it was the kind of heart that developed in Israel. Remember, we started the lesson this morning talking about the situation in Israel in the time of Ezekiel, where God's people had, basically the nation had been destroyed, Jerusalem had been wiped out, a bunch of people of Judah had been taken captive to Babylon. So it was a horrible situation, but that situation really was the culmination of centuries of unfaithfulness on the part of the people of God. And really, a lot of it began when God brought them up out of Egypt, in the time of the wilderness wanderings, when a lot of those people, despite all God had done for them, they didn't believe God. They didn't want to change. They wanted to go back to their old ways. They often complained, let us go back to Egypt, even though Egypt was slavery, believe it or not, they wanted to go back. And so here you have in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, this cautionary tale of what happened to the Israelites and the reason that it happened and the warning that it can happen to us as well. Listen to it as the Bible explains it in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. As the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. You might remember, I'll just pause here to say, you might remember the children of Israel came out of Egyptian slavery. They went to Sinai. They came and spied out the promised land. God said, go take the promised land. And a whole bunch of them said, we can't do it. We don't want to do it. We want to go back home. And so God made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until pretty much all of the adults of that generation died out. So that's what's being talked about here. God says, I was angry with that generation. I said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And then the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 3 and verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, the problem that the Israel had can be a problem even with believers today. This is a warning to us. Beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through to the deceitfulness of sin. That's what I'm trying to do this morning on this radio program. I'm trying to exhort you, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. How can it be? How can it possibly be that we live in a nation where things like violence and deceit and lying and the murder of innocents. How can it be that we live in a nation where all of that is now just accepted? It's the way that it is. We turn on the television and we expect people to lie to us. I mean, that's the norm. And again, it doesn't matter what political party you're from. That's what's become the norm. How can it be that we live in such a nation today? Folks, we need to change our hearts. We need to change our hearts from top to bottom and everybody in between. We need to repent. And that's what the warning is about this morning. We've been blinded by darkened hearts who are not open to accepting God's way and God's will as brought to us through Jesus Christ, who alone is the way to life. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul pleads with the people at Ephesus. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work uncleanness with greediness." But he says, "You have not so learned Christ." See, Christ doesn't teach those things. Christ doesn't teach the kinds of things that the world has just accepted today and had accepted in Paul's time as well, where there's all of this just filth and immorality that's just accepted. It's practiced all the time in our world. We need to turn away from it. We need to turn away from it. Christ didn't bring that. Let's accept what Christ brought. Instead of being proud, allowing ourselves to be deceived, and sometimes even deceiving ourselves. You know, we can be deceived by others, obviously. Yet we're responsible for that. If we believe lies, we're responsible for what we believe. But in Romans 16 and verse 18, we are warned that false teachers by smooth and flattering speech can deceive the hearts of the simple. I believe that's happened a lot in the religious world today. And as far as that goes, in the world in general, we can also be deceived by ourselves. And I think that's going on a lot as well, too. People justify themselves. Whatever they do, it's okay because, you know, they've got some reason for doing it. James, in James chapter 1 and verse 26 in our Bibles, he says, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart." So this is just one example. But I mean, there are a lot of people walking around in the world today who just whatever they want to say comes out of their mouths. It doesn't matter if it's a lie. It doesn't matter if it's cursing. It doesn't matter if it's vile language, gossip, repeating things that aren't true, whatever it might be. You know, and the same people think that they're religious. They're just deceiving themselves. That's what James says. If any among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. He's deceiving himself. Again, it's a heart problem. Our problem in our society today is a heart problem. Until we change our hearts, nothing is going to get better, not in our personal lives, not in our communities, and certainly not in the nation as a whole. We need to change our hearts. We need to come to a place like where David was back in the Old Testament in Psalm 51 and verse 10, when he pleads with God and he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Wouldn't you like to have a clean heart instead of one that's defiled by all of this worldliness and filth and again, lying and untruth in our society? For God to create in you a clean heart, you must allow him to touch your heart, first of all, with your guilt, because you're guilty of sin. We all are. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we must allow ourselves to be touched with our guilt. And secondly, we must allow ourselves to be touched with the grace of God that brought us salvation, his love for us, and his desire for us to be saved. In the book of Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter and the other apostles stand up on the day of Pentecost, and Peter preaches this wonderful sermon, and he tells the Jews that are gathered there today, and there are thousands of that day. There were thousands of them that were gathered that day, and he tells them essentially that God sent his Son into the world, and it was obvious that Jesus was the Christ. He did all these miracles right in front of them, but they killed him. They crucified him. And so Peter is laying that at the feet of the Jewish people to whom he's speaking. He says, "You by the hands of lawless men have crucified and slain God's Son," in essence. Of course, God raised Jesus up from the dead. And Peter goes on and talks about how he and the other apostles were witnesses of that. And that's one of the reasons we believe today in the resurrection of Jesus, because we have reliable witnesses, men who were willing to give their lives for what they testified to. It's strong evidence that Jesus was indeed raised from the dead. But he comes to the end of the sermon, basically, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, and that's what he comes to. He says, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." The next verse says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" we need people right now in America to be cut to the heart, to recognize that we have done and said and thought things. There have been things in our hearts that don't need to be there. A lot of the things that we've described this morning in the reading in Romans 1 and elsewhere that the Bible plainly says are wrong. Wrong things to do, wrong things to think, wrong things to say. And America is just filled with it, filled with all of those things. We need to repent. And that's what Peter's going to tell them to do. But before we can repent, we have to be cut to the heart. See, our hearts, if our heart is going to change, there has to be an operation. You know, I was telling you about my brother-in-law, that heart, that his old heart didn't come out of his chest just by wishing it. He had to go through an operation. We need to go through an operation to change our hearts. We need to be cut to the heart as these people on the day of Pentecost were, talking, of course, metaphorically. But when they realized what they'd done, they realized their sin, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." First word out of his mouth is, you got to repent. The word repent means to change. Change your mind, change your heart. That's what's got to happen. That's what's got to happen in your life. It's got to happen in mine. Must happen in our country. That's what needs to happen. A change of heart. We will, when our heart changes, obey from the heart the form of doctrine to which we were delivered. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. We will purify our souls in obeying the truth, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 says. We need a heart change. Initially, that means being baptized for the remission of sins, to rise and walk in newness of life. Think about this morning. Think about your life. Are you happy with your heart condition? Are you happy what's going on inside of you and what's coming out in your life as a result of what's going on inside you? I want to tell you that God knows your heart today. The Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Of course, God, through his word, is a spiritual CAT scan. He's a spiritual MRI machine, whatever you want to call it. He sees right through us. He knows what's inside us. He knows what the problem is. He knows what the problem is in your life right now. The question is, do you understand how much your heart needs to be changed? God can give you a new heart. God can give you a new heart. You have to open yourself to it. Listen to his word. Believe in his son. Obey his will. That's the only way it's going to happen. We started out in the book of Ezekiel this morning, Ezekiel chapter 36. And the promise that's given in Ezekiel 36 is this in verse 26. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." There's the promise of God. He'll take out that old heart of yours and give you a transplant. That's what we need individually. That's what we need as a nation. I'm praying for our nation. I hope you are too. And I don't just mean with the political upheaval that's been the last week or so. I mean with respect to our morality, our love of things that are good, our willingness to stand up for what is right and against what is wrong. We need a new heart. We need to approach one another in love and kindness, but with firmness for what is true and what is right. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast this morning. I hope that you'll consider the things we've said and look at your heart as we're going forward into this week. We're trying to walk the way that leads to life. I hope that you're trying to walk that way too. Tune into the broadcast again next week. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lesson.